Today is April 2nd and Monday, and the Committee of Workforce and Economic Development will come to order. And currently, Chairman Witt is, I heard, is under the weather, and so I, the Vice Chair, will take this gavel this morning. So. All right, so what?
We saw a couple people signing up.
Okay, and are we opening up this one together?
Yes, these two together.
And we have opened up a work session for this one.
Is this yours?
Vote.
Is this lighting on the walking trail?
Is here.
Okay.
Is this lighting on the walking trail?
I don't have any idea.
That's what I already have on. So
okay, and we'd like to have a public hearing on 23? House Bill 3224 and House Bill 3223 together. So if I could invite Representative Nathanson, and are you alone or are you coming with someone else?
I will provide testimony on my own, and then I'll be available for questions as other people.
Okay. Welcome. We're glad to have
Thank you
this morning.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Nancy Nathanson, representative from House District 13. Oregon will be written about, talked about, photographed, televised, and filmed for 2 weeks next year. Millions of people from around the world are going to hear about and see Oregon. The proposals that you will be hearing about today, these two House bills, will help Oregon look its best and be its best in front of a global audience. Oregon's cachet in the sporting world and in environmental tourism is going to get a big boost. And when you hear about what could be in store for the next couple of years, this event could be seen as really the first in a series. The Olympic track and field trials are coming to Hayward Field next year. That's Eugene. 1,200 athletes will compete in events over 10 days. 1,100 media from 30 countries will be setting up shop to cover the events and the locale. Attendance will be about 15,000 spectators a day. In the visitor industry lingo, all those athletes, trainers, media, and visitors are going to fill about 30,000 hotel room nights in Eugene, Springfield, and other surrounding communities. The direct impacts will be felt beyond Lane County, well into Lynn and Benton counties at least, and will be felt in the whole state. A large number of attendees will be flying directly into the Portland International Airport. We expect people will be buying Oregon products, sampling Oregon beer and wine, eating Oregon strawberries, rafting a river, and hiring Oregon guides. We'd like them to see the state, maybe take in a play at the Shakespeare Festival, visit OMSI, or go to a baseball game. I hope that some of the athletes decide to train here, that the viewing audience around the world decides to visit here, and that some savvy entrepreneurs grow more business in the film and video industry, sports equipment manufacturing, specialty foods, and recreation industries. You know all those breakaway shots that you see between events and before and after commercials? All those cutaways or breakaways, someone who's smarter about this is going to explain it to you. I think the value of that is priceless, as Oregon is shown and talked about many, many times over 10 days. I'd like to quickly cover just two special themes that these proposals address. I know that there are several other speakers who've come to Salem to talk to you today and tell you what it means, but I'll tell you from a general perspective what I think it means for the state. First of all, on tourism and economic development. The Oregon Tourism Commission contracts for a report on the economic impact of travel in Oregon. They've done that for many years. The analysis is done by Dean Runyon Associates. The 2006 report is available. The Dean Runyon Associates report indicates that direct travel spending was $7.9 billion, a 6.7% increase over 2005. Direct travel spending generated $98 million in local taxes and $201 million in state taxes, and generated direct and secondary employment of 128,900 jobs. This is no small potatoes we're talking about. Most of the secondary impacts were in various professional and business services. Secondly, I'd like to talk to you about House Bill 3224 specifically regarding the Willamette River. First, I'd like to mention that there's a report called the Willamette River Legacy Program, the governor's blueprint for restoring and enjoying a healthy Willamette River Basin. I'd like to lift a quote from that report. It talks about addressing the incredible role that the Willamette River plays in Oregon's quality of life so Oregonians can enjoy the many activities the river offers, and to do so responsibly so that it will be here for future generations. I believe that the investments that are proposed in this bill are important, not only for the visitors, not only for the value that it will bring in tourism and economic development dollars, as that river is shown numerous times over the 10-day trials, but those investments will be important for us and for our children, because we're talking about legacy projects, not just event projects, but legacy projects to improve and restore and enhance the Willamette River and the Willamette River Corridor as we show it off to the rest of the world. Secondly, I wanted to mention that Congresswoman Hooley is preparing an initiative to be considered in Congress later this spring. This proposal's success, that is House Bill 3224, the success of this proposal could help make the case for Congresswoman Hooley to leverage additional federal money for future projects along the Willamette River. That is the focus of the proposal that she is preparing now. So what I hope that I can demonstrate, and that all the other speakers who are here to visit you today will demonstrate, is that an investment in these venues will be a lasting investment for the state. This event is very likely to be one of many more. It will reestablish our preeminence in track and field, and it will propel us to new status for attracting sport and destination travel. These proposals are a modest commitment to ensure that we're ready to show our product, the state of Oregon, to that global audience. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Any comments? Representative Girard?
Thank you for your testimony. I do have a couple questions. On 3223, when they made the bid for the trials, was this money, was the state notified, and was the state part of the negotiations, and was this money to be part of that bid?
I was not involved at that time. There are at least two other speakers who are here today who can address that question. So, Mr. Chair, I would like to ask how you would like me to handle this. As I continue my response to you and to Representative Girard in the committee on whether the security costs were anticipated, I could sort of guess, but there are other speakers. Would it be better to wait for their testimony, or shall I ask them to come to the table with me now so that we can answer the question more fully?
Okay, and we will ask them later.
Okay.
And so I think that's appropriate, but I'm sure that your question will be answered.
Okay.
All right.
Thank
any
you,
other
Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? If not, that the Representative Nicholson, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And testifying on this two bills.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to call and welcome the Eugene Mayor, the Honorable Kitty Piercy. I understand here. Please come forward. And also, at the same time, I'd like to call, would you like to sit together with the Ling, Commissioner Bill Dwyer? Where's
right
Bill?
Here?
Hey, welcome. Glad to see you.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Well, good morning, Vice Chair Lim and members of the committee. I appreciate very much the opportunity to be here. I'm Kitty Piercy, the mayor of Eugene, Oregon, and I guess you get to introduce yourself, and then we'll...
I'm Bill Dwyer, County Commissioner, Springfield, Eugene.
And also the former senator. We served together in the Senate.
Right.
And a House member also. In
the, yes.
I served with him in the House.
And a House member.
Yes.
Like the old club here. Anyway, I'm delighted to be here and have this opportunity. I thank Representative Nathanson for her work on House Bill 3223 and 3224, the 2008 U.S. Olympic track and field trial bills. Next year, athletes will begin the pursuit of their 2008 Olympic dreams at the 2008 U.S. Olympic track and field trials in Eugene to be held here in Oregon. We're very excited about it for Eugene. We're very excited about it for our whole metropolitan area, and we're very excited about it for the state. We think it benefits all of us tremendously. The 8-day event will be held at the Hayward Field Track and Field Complex on the University of Oregon campus in Eugene, Oregon. The event will host more than 1,000 athletes, all competing for the right to represent Team USA at the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing, China. We estimate more than 100,000 visitors to the area for the event, along with more than 1,000 members of the media from around the world. So that's quite an impact on our, a good impact on our community, but also a challenging impact on our community. Eugene 08 will be nationally televised on both NBC and the USA Network, and the nation and the world will get a glimpse of our beautiful state and our beautiful area. Travel and tourism are significant economic benefit to the state of Oregon, with billions of dollars spent in Oregon on travel and tourism-related activities each year. Eugene 08 is a significant tourism opportunity for Oregon, for Eugene, for Springfield, for our area, but for Oregon. We want the impression Oregon makes on the world during this event to promote and stimulate travel, tourism, and future economic benefits for years to come. We're actually setting the threshold not only for what will happen at this event, but things that will come for many years after. To this end, we plan on putting our best face forward during this event. House Bill 3224 would provide necessary funding to provide enhancements we believe are necessary for visitors to our region during the trials. The funding would provide us improvements to lighting and permanent information signage along the Willamette River bike pass, permanent recycling and waste disposal bins, enhancement of the Otson footbridge, removal of invasive species along the Willamette River and planting native plants, and placement of informational kiosks throughout the area. Each of these things is an investment for one time and for many times at the same time. Oregon invests $9 million annually through the Oregon Tourism Investment Program to keep our tourism sector strong and competitive. The funds that House Bill 3224 would provide will contribute to this investment and will be an event that the whole community and the whole state of Oregon will be proud to have hosted. So we appreciate your support and the opportunity to speak with you this morning.
Well, I didn't bring any prepared remarks.
Why not?
I'm the Boy Scout. Let me say that this is really an opportunity for the state of Oregon to shine worldwide. When they came to our office before they bid on it, you know, in the 1987 session, we sponsored a bill that would allow for them to resurface Hayward Field. And it was Representative Dix's bill at the time. It was a bonding mechanism because the place was actually falling apart. We were the track city, the track capital of the world, but we had to compete with Indianapolis and Sacramento and other entities in a dilapidated facility. And it wasn't very conducive to trying to gather events. So I viewed it as an economic development opportunity, because if you can get these types of events to come, people come and they see, learn about Oregon. And as a result of that, we've had a resurgence. So they came and they said, well, we want to bid on the Olympics. Well, we gave them the county, we gave them the money to do that. We gave them the money out of our economic development money. It's performance based, and I think that this is really economic development at its core. So we had no qualms about advancing the money that they would have to pay in order to actually get it. I think we gave them $250,000, and it's money well spent. And I would hope that the state would step up to the plate and recognize that we're all in this together in economic development, particularly when you have people that come from throughout the world into Oregon. Many of them will land in Portland. Not all of them will fly into Eugene. They'll come in through all of the airports and cars and whatever. It's a real great opportunity for us to showcase our beautiful state. Kind of like, I kind of got a little bit of Tom McCall in me, you know, like I wish they would visit but not live here, but that's another part of me. But we have to take care of this opportunity, and we do have a beautiful place. And if you don't think it's a beautiful place, just go someplace else and see how quick you'll be glad to get home. So I'm expecting you guys to pony up whatever it takes to help us in our effort.
We'll see what we can do. Any questions? Representative Dallin?
Yes, we had a quite a discussion last week about Oregon and bidding on the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And one of the things mentioned was that the economic impact would be horrendous. In that presentation, there was talk of payback. If the government advanced money that the Olympics, through sponsorship, would generate revenue and that there would be a payback. Is this a loan or is this a direct grant?
It's a grant. It's not a loan. We didn't loan them anything. We gave them a grant. They have enough challenges in trying to cobble this thing together without loans, because historically, if you look at Olympic Games throughout the world, they're well thought out. But they really don't generate a lot of money. Most of the money goes into infrastructure, security, and other things. So we didn't want to burden them with a loan.
We all locally invested in bringing the Olympics, and it was no small effort. I mean, I can look back here, and I have to really applaud the folks that were here that were able to make the kind of presentation that wrested the Olympic trials away from Sacramento and brought it back to Eugene, and that's a very big deal for our state. And I would say, in answer to your question, what you're giving really is seed money, and it will grow. And it will bring things to this state that will enhance the economic development of all the communities that are involved and throughout the state. So I would see it as seed money and not as a loan that you would expect to be get it back. But I think you would get it back in the kind of resources that would be brought into communities all around Oregon.
Just one question. Economic development money is given out on a performance base. And we were convinced that these are performers and they're going to perform and they're going to generate the economic opportunities and job opportunities that will far surpass any other kind of investment that we could make with that kind of money.
Okay. Representative Holby.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good to see both of you up early on Monday morning here in Salem. Speaking of the investment that we're being asked the state to put in, it's adding up the two bills, it's $540,000, and it seems like a small amount, actually, when you look at the estimate that Representative Nathanson gave us, that this could generate $18 million in direct spending in Oregon. I'm sure there's probably also some other investments out there, and I'm sure we can hear from those that are also have already invested, and there's already been some work done to Hayward Field. But I assume there's probably going to be a cost to the city and the county in having this Olympics as well. Do you have kind of an estimate of what the cost might be to the city or county directly?
Thank you for that question. I think you'll get the specifics on that. But we know in terms of public safety management and things like that, there are going to be serious costs to our community, and we're looking into a number of resources to try to help us manage that. And I think I see nodding heads. So they'll give you the specifics. So thank you for asking that.
Well, I'm sure the county, I told Vince that we might pony up a little bit more, but I'm not the king. I'm only one of five, but we might be able to help a little bit more. But as I said, this $550,000 is not very much for a state the size, and I shouldn't find this be a very hard decision for you to make.
Yeah. And Representative Girard.
Thank you, Chairman. The question I have, basically now, since you've answered the other question I have, is for 3224, the cleanup measure of the Willamette. I come from a district that's impacted by the three basin rule, and we have a lot of restrictions placed on us that the three cities that benefit from it, Portland, Salem, and Eugene, do not. Do you have any plans in the future to put in actual batch reactors, which are required in three basin zones? The major polluters in the Willamette right now are the three cities, the three major cities. And I just wonder if you have any plans to, I mean, you're requiring the small cities to do a lot of things that you're not willing to do, and I just got to throw that in with the question.
All stare. Again, I think there are other people who could answer that question better than I can, but what I do know is that with our waste management and water management, we have a concerted and constant effort to try to do the best management and the least negative impact on the river that we can, and we have been required to do some very, very expensive updating of our equipment, which is taking some time to have happen, but we certainly are totally dedicated to being the best stewards of the river that we can be.
Just a quick follow-up. What you're requiring on McKenzie and what we're required on the North Santa Am is a total mass restriction, and none of the major cities are going to total mass restrictions, which means that the secret to pollution is not dilution. It's, you know, limiting the amount of mass that goes into the river, and so I would really encourage you to look into it. If you're going to require the small cities to do that, I think the proper example is for the big cities to do it.
Representative Girard, I would actually be happy to volunteer to get you specific information regarding that.
Okay.
And let me say that the Metro Wastewater has about a $126 million project to try to meet the federal goals. And we also we've got about 400 acres that we're using bioremediation, where we're putting the effluent and growing poplar trees and whatnot so we can keep the stuff, the heavy metals and stuff, out of the river. So we're doing the best we can. You know, life isn't exactly fair.
That's not in my district.
Thank you. Different, slightly different topic. Thank you both very much for coming this morning. It's great to see friends from home in the middle of a legislative session.
Good to see you.
My question's on a slightly different topic. Representative Nathanson talked about the number of people who would be coming and the number of hotel room nights. Mm-hmm. She gave a very large number. I wrote it down, but I don't remember exactly. But it was a very large number. We don't have that many hotel spaces in Eugene and Springfield, do we? Aren't these people going to have to stay in Albany and Lebanon and Sweet Home and other Cottage Grove and other places other than just in our neighborhood?
Representative Barnhart, that's true. As a matter of fact, in order to qualify to bring the Olympic trials to Eugene, we had to show that we could house the number of people they expect, and so a concerted effort was made to ensure that in communities all up and down the corridor, we could find enough locations for people to come and spend the night. I believe I don't have it in front of me, but I know it. I think Springfield is housing all the media, and I think Eugene's housing all the athletes, and then up and down the corridor, we're housing everybody else that we expect to visit. So it will be a boon not only for our community, but I suspect even along the Mackenzie River.
Maybe we can get a deal on some of them FEMA trailers from New Orleans.
One more question. For the mayor.
Yes, Representative.
I see the Riverfront Trail, and having served on the Riverfront Trail in the Dalles, we used to watch Eugene as kind of the leader. But can you tell me the correlation between the Olympic trials and the Riverfront Trail?
Well, certainly we expect, Representative Dahlem, what we very much expect is that our visitors in their time in Eugene are going to be, one of the things they're going to be experiencing is getting out on those riverside pathways, because that's one of the greatest assets we have in our community. So it is a way that we talk about Oregon. It's a way that we talk about our community. It's a way that we share our community with our visitors, and we think it's a very important thing for people to, for the right kind of assets to be along the riverfront for those visitors.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Representative Bono.
Thank you.
One more question.
Thank you. You know, that generated another idea, Representative Dallum's question. Of course, I'm familiar with the waterfront parks in Eugene, and I'm aware that a lot of people work on those. On those parks to try to maintain them, removing Asian blackberries and a whole variety of other things, and helping to keep them safe and maintained. And I'm assuming, again, that the amount of money that we're talking about from the Parks Department is a drop in the bucket compared to what the local input is going to be in terms of volunteer labor, the effort the city's going to make, and other things of that sort.
I think you can be assured of that, Representative Barnhart. In fact, I know of several volunteer groups that are working on doing specific things along the waterfront now. It will be a joint effort of what the contributions we get from the state, from the local contributions, and volunteer efforts in our community. It will be a substantial a lot of work along our riverfront.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
And also the former good friend that the Commissioner Dwyer yes, will be. All right, and who should I call next? Okay, I'd like to call at this time that the... like to pronounce that Vin Janana? Yes, okay. Please welcome. And how about the Angel Jones also? Well, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Vin Lanana. I'm the Associate Athletic Director and the co-chair of the Eugene 2008 Olympic Trials. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today regarding the bill number 3223 and 3224. I have already submitted a testimony, and I won't read that today, but I'll make a few comments. I'd like to speak to the legacy, the building of this legacy, and building on this brand as Tracktown USA. The 2008 Olympic Trials will be the greatest sporting event ever in the state of Oregon. And it will be a huge opportunity for all of us. I know you've heard from some of our partners already. I know that you're familiar with the media attention and hype that has been gained throughout this entire community. So I'll just make a few comments, and then certainly I'll be available to answer questions for you. As you know, there'll be 12 hours of live television coverage. This will be the greatest amount of live television coverage ever for any Olympic trials held. We have more than 1,000 national and international media that will be here. We even have the potential to have the Beijing delegation here to observe the track and field meet at Hayward Field. Lots of people all over the world have heard about Hayward Field, and many will come to see this meet. I know that others have spoken to and will continue to speak to the economic impact of the 2008 Olympic trials, but I'd like to speak more to our identity and an identity that we own in this state. This is something really special. I've spent 30 years in the sport of track and field in Eugene, and the state of Oregon is something really special in that community. We were already heading in the direction for our future. We will host the 2010 NCAAs at Hayward Field. We have bids in for 2009 and 2011 for the USA National Championships. And who knows? We're even dreaming about and thinking about putting a bid in to host the 2012 Olympic Trials. These investments that you will make is not just about this 2008 trials. It's about our future. And you've heard already that the worldwide track and field community is buzzing about these trials at Hayward Field. And I think that if we can actually do a great job with this meet, which we feel quite confident that we will, we will get a great return on this. It takes, obviously, it takes a lot of hard work. Our community partners have been great in working with us, and we also need money. The university is doing its part, creating this outstanding venue at Hayward Field. You heard about resurfacing the track. Well, you're going to see at some point a request for lottery bonds to help us with the renovation of Hayward Field, and you'll have an opportunity to hear, if you have not already, you'll hear more about that. The community partners want to ensure that we have a safe event, we have an exciting event, and I think that these bills that are before you will help us be able to address those. And this will also position us to secure our rightful place as Tracktown USA, and to maintain it long into the future for not only this event, but many events going forward. So I'm available to answer questions, and Angel Jones, as a member of our steering committee, will also be here to answer questions.
Go ahead, the testimony from Angels, and then we will open up questions.
Actually, I'm Angel Jones, Assistant City Manager for the City of Eugene. I actually do not have a prepared testimony. I am just here to speak to the specific questions as it relates to the cost and the impact on the city directly for this event.
All right. Well said. And then the question. Representative Girard.
It's real easy for me to see the additional need for security costs. I'm having a real problem with 3224. Could you explain to me why we need to improve pathways and that sort of thing along the river, that's not just a local cost and a statewide cost?
I think it was stated earlier that part of the reason why that would be significant is the city of Eugene is already spending significant dollars to try to ensure that we present ourselves well to the nation, as we're going to be highly visible during the course of this event. We're going to be spending money in a number of different areas. That's a prime site because that's going to be one of the areas that we're going to have a lot of tourists trying to attract tourists to the area in that particular site. So it's amount of dollars and the significance of how much it's going to cost the city of Eugene and how we allocate those resources. So any state support that we get will help stretch those limited dollars and give us the ability to leverage them for more things that we need to do to ensure that we represent ourselves well.
Okay. Any other questions? Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So welcome, Angel. If you could talk to me a little bit more about the cost to the city.
Right.
Just so we kind of have a ballpark idea of what we're looking at.
We're still putting together the final numbers, but roughly we're looking at anywhere between $1.2 and $1.5 million direct spending for the city of Eugene. How we're trying to mitigate some of that is we've known about this event for at least 2 years, so we're trying to incorporate as much as we possibly can into the normal programming that we have. But the most significant cost is, of course, going to be security. Security is something that we cannot plan or restructure activities. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen during a time that we could potentially have a strain on resources that are already strained. And you think 08, you know, what else is happening in 08? Oregon may be a prime state for presidential candidates, which is already going to stress our resources. So when you think about the fact that we're going to have all of our police officers on call, and that's overtime, so you double the cost of what we would normally have to endure to ensure that we have a safe event and are able to take care of our normal business in addition to what's going to be going on with the trials, it's roughly those are the most significant dollars that we're going to incur. That's the bulk of the $1.2 million that we estimate. The other would be related to various permits for street closures and lost revenue for parking and those kinds of things as we try to open it up and ensure people are able to have access and travel through our community without delay.
Thank you.
Follow up.
Vin, do you see additional costs that we're not really looking at here to the University of Oregon as well?
Well, I'm probably not the best to speak to each of the budget impact, but I would say that the university has it will have lots of costs associated with it, most of which are in the facility upgrade. You know, the facility itself, for your information, we've already installed permanent lighting. This will all be, most of this will all be evening meets, and we needed to put permanent lighting in. We'll be putting a video board in, which will allow us to have good spectator coverage. We've had to reconstruct the walkways around Hayward Field. We're reconfiguring the infield to be able to conduct all these events. Even though we hosted the trials in 72 and 76 and 1980, it's a very different meet 28 years later. And those costs are significant. So that's probably the majority of the cost to the university. And most of that has come from private donations as well.
All right. Thank you. Representative Nathanson,
you'd like something to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'd like to add something to the previous question about the connection and the need with regard to the river and river enhancements. The way I see this event is not only important for elevating the state's stature or re-elevating the stature in track and field and sporting in general, I believe it is a prime opportunity to ramp up our visibility for environmental tourism or natural resource appreciation. There are many people who travel based on access to the outdoors, for example, river rafting, hiking, bicycling, skiing in the winter. There are a number of kinds of sporting activities or outdoor activities that people will be able to enjoy or see and become interested in. If you haven't looked already, on one of the pieces of paper that I provided in my testimony, there's a fairly small-sized map, but it shows the event location. There's a red dot on the bottom, which is Hayward Field. The river runs through the center area of this map, and the red dot on the top is Autzen Stadium, another venue. Some people are familiar with a football team that plays there. There's a very tiny little red dotted line that shows the 12 miles of continuous loop along the river, but also it shows where the bridges are that cross the river. So people traveling from the specific event at Hayward Field to either parking on the north side of the river or where other activities are on the north side of the river, several times a day they will be crossing over either a pedestrian bridge or a bridge for motorized traffic. So several times a day they're going to be crossing over the Willamette, seeing it, taking pictures of it, but then also using the paths, the bicycle and pedestrian paths along the river to get back and forth from places as well as to just enjoy the river. So from my perspective, it's an opportunity to increase our investment related to not only tourism in general, but also to ramp up Oregon's stature in environmental or natural resource recreation.
Okay. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Representative Lim. I just wanted to make a comment. It's my impression that the folks who come here for this event from everywhere in the country and the world will take home an impression of Oregon, not just an impression of Eugene. And they'll be giving that impression to all their friends and neighbors, and I think that's an amazing word of mouth representation of Oregon that we can't afford to pass up.
Okay. Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to add on to what Representative Riley spoke of. And I know when I have friends that come from out of state or out of the area, you know, one of the things they really like to do is go see the Oregon coast. And that's going to have an additional huge benefit to the tourism in the small communities on the coast, I believe, with that many people coming. I'm sure a few thousand will visit the Oregon coast. So,
okay. Representative Girard.
Oh, thank you. Back to 3224. The problem I have, and I'm probably the minority here, but is that Eugene has a pretty poor track record as far as water pollution goes in the Willamette River. And you hold other people to a lot higher standards on the Mackenzie. And that really bothers me. And so it seems to me like you're asking for rewards for not doing a very good job. And I'm going to be voting no on 3224. But the rest of it I think is really good. And I really, the track program I think is wonderful. And to be honest, I'm probably the only person in this room. I actually was on the track with Steve Prefontaine, but it was very brief because he lapped me really quick. So.
All right. Any other questions? If not, and thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And
thank
I appreciate it. Who's the next panel?
I think I was probably laughing at you. Oh, that's a weird race. What was that? This is 220 and 440, 880.
Okay. I'd like to call the Terry Connolly from the Eugene Chamber. And also, I'd like to call together also at the same time Ed. How do you pronounce it? Ed Rogeron and Springfield Chamber. I would like to welcome you, and please state your name and position.
Thank you, Chair Lim and committee members. My name is Terry Connolly. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for the Eugene Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you for this opportunity to comment. I'm here today on behalf of the Eugene Chamber to speak in support of both House Bill 3223 and House Bill 3224. Our organization places a high value on promoting and supporting responsible economic development, and we believe the opportunity for Eugene, and in essence the state of Oregon, to host the 2008 U.S. Olympic team trials for track and field will be a catalyst for economic development activity in our state, not just in 2008, but in for many years to come. We also want to thank Representative Nathanson for sponsoring this bill, along with the other sponsors of the bill who signed on, including Representative Barnhart and Representative Hulvey. As others have described or will describe today, the event known as Eugene 08 will be much more than just a track and field meet. We are excited about that, and we are excited about the short-term and long-term benefits this will bring to our local economy. But the Olympic trials represent much more than a dollars and cents conversation about what Eugene stands to gain in hosting this event. Eugene may be the host city, but in reality, Oregon is the destination. There are many points of entry into our state that fans, athletes, media, and others will take en route to Eugene. And we suspect many visitors to Eugene for this event will seek out other destinations to visit during their time in Oregon. So the economic benefits stand to be much broader than to just our community or to Lane County. We also think it is important to factor in how this event's exposure of Oregon to a national and international audience will likely attract future visitors and possibly lure future business investment into our state. Speaking specifically to House Bill 3223, we're all keenly aware of the need for security whenever there are large gatherings of people like those found at major sports events. Law enforcement professionals and other public safety personnel in Eugene, Springfield, Lane County, and Eugene State Police do an exceptional job in providing security at major sports events in Eugene. However, these events tend to be single-day occurrences where shifts can be adjusted to staff up to provide the necessary coverage to deal with security, crowds, and traffic. It would be very difficult to sustain that same effort over a period of 10 consecutive days, which will be the need during the Olympic trials. Not to mention the basic day-to-day public safety needs Eugene residents and businesses will need to be covered during the same time. That is why we believe the allocation of $300,000 in general funds for distribution to the city of Eugene to assist with their security costs is worthy of your support. We want all Oregonians and other visitors to Eugene for this event to enjoy their experience in a safe and secure environment. In regard to House Bill 3224, the Willamette River corridor between Eugene and Springfield will no doubt receive considerable use from pedestrians, cyclists, run competitors, and running enthusiasts during this event. And keep in mind the fact one of the major draws there, and this I think is a legacy that has even put the state of Oregon on the map, is the Steve Prefontaine Trail that is along this area. That in itself will be a major destination for visitors to this event. We also think that the activities that will be taking place in proximity to this corridor are not unlike other stretches of the Willamette River where there are special events or community gatherings. And so, therefore, we think the opportunities to enhance this corridor between Eugene and Springfield would be a good investment by the state. In conclusion, we are excited about the upcoming U.S. Olympic team trials for track and field. We are proud that Eugene is the host city and that Oregon is the host state. We are grateful for those who helped make this happen, and we believe Eugene and the state of Oregon will realize economic benefits from this event for many years to come. We urge your support and the legislature to approve House Bill 3223 and House Bill 3224. Chair Lim and committee members, that concludes my testimony. I would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, let's go to the next testifier, and then after that we will open up the questions or comments. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Lim and members of the committee. My name is Ed Bergeron. I am the chair of the Springfield Chamber of Commerce Government Issues Committee. I'm also a past chair of the Springfield Chamber Board of Directors, past chair of the Convention and Visitors Association of Lane County, and past chair of the University of Oregon Alumni Association Board of Directors. But it was also my very great honor to be a volunteer during the 1980 Olympic trials that Eugene Springfield hosted, and also the World Veterans Track and Field Championships as a member of the steering committee of that event in 1989. I'm here representing the Springfield Chamber to underscore and to demonstrate the partnership of our two cities in putting together these events over the years and our expectation of a continued wonderful partnership in the years to come. I believe the committee has also already received a letter from Springfield Mayor Sid Lykin to that effect as well. From our experience with these past events, we know that with the eyes of the nation, the eyes of the world, sometimes on our communities when we're hosting such events, it also creates a tremendous opportunity for the bad guys around the state to also come in and try to take advantage of our wonderful visitors. And truly, that does stretch our communities thin. And while we're pleased to take the pressure off of the rest of the state during that period of time, we also think it's entirely appropriate to ask the rest of the state to chip in, to help us ensure that our visitors have the most wonderful experience possible while they're visiting our state. We also know from experience, and we expect in the future, that visitors have a bit more of a challenge in terms of wayfinding, finding their way around. We know that the athletes and their families will be wanting to experience the Willamette River Corridor and our bicycle trails and our running trails. And we will be doing our very best, not only in a very public way, but as community volunteers and citizens of our state, to help people find their way, to help people with language issues, issues so that they can get back to their hotel to be to their events on time. These events are truly all hands on deck for our community, and in ways both public and formal and informal, we're going to do our best to take advantage of them and take advantage of the opportunity to make sure that they enjoy their experience. But we also know that visitors are challenged. They're only in our community for a short time, and sometimes they have difficulty finding their way. The improvements to the Willamette River Corridor will certainly help enhance the experience for people that are running our trails and walking and biking while they're here, and ensure that they have the best experience possible. So on behalf of the Springfield Chamber of Commerce and our members, we want to express our support for these two bills, and thank you for your consideration.
Okay. And questions from the Representative Dallin?
Yes. Thank you, Chair Lim. I might say you can leave it to two Chamber of Commerce type people to make this make sense. I think the state's a statement and then a question. The state's participation in this, if I understand it, is very small. I did not hear what Springfield is going to put into the pot. I have $1.2 million from Eugene. What's the Springfield contribution? Do you know?
Representative Dallin, I'll have to get that information for you. I don't have the exact numbers with me. I'm sorry.
I do, and I just wrote on here, support this. This is definitely a shining light for the state, but I'm having trouble seeing the correlation between preventing invasive species and having served on the Dalles Riverfront Trail. That's an endless job, and one that's completely lost if left unattended for in one season. And I have trouble with the correlation between that and the great track event that you're staging. But nonetheless, I think the state should participate. I'm not sure this is the way we should participate, but I will support you in your efforts.
No questions? All right. Oh. Representative Bonhoff.
I'll go after him. Thank you. We're going to hear from the Visitor Bureau later, so to some extent this may be a duplicate. I've become aware that since our transient room tax went into effect several years ago, the state visitors have done a pretty good job of making sure that convention packets and things of that sort contain information about visiting outside of the direct venue. I know, for example, that Linn County has a flyer that goes into these packets in the Eugene Springfield area, so that visitors will find their way to Lebanon and Sweet Home and up the passes, other than up the Santa Am, for example, and other places away from Eugene and Springfield, partly as a draw and partly, of course, as a way of spreading out the wealth, getting people over to the sea lion caves and so forth. I'm assuming that that these efforts will be involved in this process as well. Not only will people be staying in towns some distance from the venue, but also they will be provided with information about how they can spend money and see things in other parts of Oregon. Is that a fair statement of some of the things that are going to be happening?
Chair Lim, Representative Barnhart, yes, that is. Currently, while the Eugene Chamber, I can speak for them, does not have the same level of visitor information as the Convention and Visitors Bureau, we obviously, it's a daily function of our organization to handle inquiries about the entire state of Oregon, Lane County, the region, Southern Willamette Valley. We have information on hand at our office, and I imagine during the period of the Olympic trials, the foot traffic into our office in downtown Eugene will be considerably higher than at any other time that we're open. So that information is always on hand, and we're always responding to inquiries to tell the story of Lane County, Eugene, Springfield, the entire state of Oregon. That information is there, and our ability to refer those inquiries to other resources that can give more detailed information.
When will the traffic into your offices start to pick up? When will this event start to be felt physically in your office?
Chair Lim, Representative Dallum, I would imagine the inquiries are going to start to pick up in the coming year as tickets go on sale and people start making reservations to our community, to our, you know, establishments, lodging, air flights, things like that. With the event beginning on June 27th, I believe, you know, a week prior to that, depending on people's schedules, is when they arrive, that's when the volume will begin to pick up. So we would anticipate a 2 to 3 week really be the crunch time as to when we would see the foot traffic or local inquiries come into our office.
Thank you.
Okay. Questions? Maybe I have a question, maybe directly not related to you, but when they broadcast locally, statewide, nationally, or internationally, who is making all the money? Do we get a part of it, or we are completely out of it? Do you have any answers for that, or should I ask it? Could you come over, please?
My pleasure. I'll do my best to answer those questions. I think that the way it works is that the United States Olympic Committee actually owns the event. It's part of all of their selection process for all their sports. And then it is parceled down to USA Track and Field, which is the governing body for the sport, as whatever each sport has its own governing body. And what happens is the television revenue and all of that is essentially owned by the USOC. So they make all the money. And basically what we have is, as the impact, we will actually already begin to feel the impact very soon, because the track meet itself is only going to take place for a couple of hours a day. It'll be varying times. The most it will ever be is 3 hours in a given day. So all of these spectators that are in Oregon are going to be going all over the state. And there are two dark days, 2 days where there are no events. And that is on the Tuesday and Wednesday of midweek of this 10-day affair. So the television piece and the revenue is all owned by the United States Olympic Committee.
How about the ticket sellings?
Right now the tickets have been on sale for about 6 months, and we are close to sold out. The ticket revenue will be part of the operating budget for the 2008 Olympic trials is about $8 million, and the ticket sales goes to offset that.
Okay.
So it does go back to the Eugene 08 group.
Okay. That helps us to understand. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Any other questions? If not, all right. Thank you very much. Next panel, I'd like to call the Karen... How do you pronounce it? Karen Manges from the Oregon Restaurant Association. And also I'd like to call at the same time Carrie Westland. Is that the Convention Visitors Association? I'm sure you can get along well.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Karen Mainzer. I'm representing the Oregon Restaurant Association and the Oregon Lodging Association. Both associations are in support of House Bill 3223 and House Bill 3224. I'm going to make my comments brief because most of my points have already been made. As you've heard, the Olympic trials historically have attracted several hundreds of thousands of visitors, creating a significant positive economic impact through visitor spending for both the local area as well as the entire state. This positive economic impact is going to be felt not only by the tourism industry, and including our members, restaurants, and lodging properties, but will also be felt throughout the state through other various visitor spending. The other point I wanted to make that Representative Nathanson brought up is that with the national TV coverage, we have an incredible opportunity to market our state. The national TV coverage will include what we call bumpers, and these are the scenes of Oregon, including Crater Lake, Mount Hood, the various scenes that are shown just before they break into commercial. These bumpers are a great marketing tool for Oregon and encouraging additional visitors to our state. So finally, the Restaurant Association and Lodging Association believe these two bills will work together to make the visitor experience more enjoyable and to encourage and promote Oregon for future events and future tourists. We encourage your support, and thank you for the time to testify.
Any questions? If not, I have a question. Since Restaurant Association or the that who are operating the restaurant, they are going to get a lot of benefit out of this Olympic trials. Are you contributing to this great event in terms of the money wise?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I am not sure exactly what the restaurants in the local area are doing. I don't know if Carrie Westland is able to answer that or not.
Okay. I can tell you that in order to secure the event...
Could you give us your name?
Sure. Good morning. I'm Carrie Westland. I'm employed as the CEO of the Convention and Visitors Association of Lane County, Oregon, and I also serve on the Oregon Tourism Commission, the Transportation and Tourism Task Force, and the Tourism Hospitality Consortium at a statewide level, and then I'm a member of the steering committee for what we are calling Eugene 08, which is the overall event that encompasses the trials. And in response to your question, I can tell you that in order to secure the event, the local lodging establishments in the Eugene and Springfield markets had to actually pull their rates down and negotiate rates to secure the event. So while there will be a lot of spillover, as you've discussed this morning, to lodging up and down the valley, those lodging establishments in the Eugene area kind of carried the lead in helping us make this a very attractive package to USA Track and Field to secure the event. Restaurants are not necessarily financially writing checks, but they will be asked to stretch a little bit in terms of their hours of operation because of when the events are taking place at Hayward Field. We'll be releasing people from the venue around 10 p.m. on some evenings, and so we are asking restaurateurs, particularly in that market around the venue, to participate in some meaningful ways.
Okay. Any questions? Any comment? Not? Right?
Yes.
Well, she hasn't spoken yet. Is that right?
Are you spoken or you just made a comment?
I just answered your question.
Okay.
For Karen.
Okay. Okay, then your turn.
But I do have just a few remarks, and I'll keep them brief because we've had some great representatives travel early this morning to meet with you. I just want to reiterate what an incredible opportunity this is for us. We've got more than 1,000 volunteers and many millions of dollars, as you heard Coach Lanana say, being invested to make this a perfectly executed event that reestablishes Eugene's status as Tracktown USA and Oregon's status as a premier destination for sports and outdoor activities, along with business relocation and quality of life issues as we host people anywhere in our state. They get to know us. The event itself, you've heard, will generate directly $18 million or more in visitor expenditures. That's a very conservative amount. We're confident the number will be higher. We're very careful in putting that number together. But the hosting of the 2018 trials is not viewed as the culmination of our efforts. It's really the beginning of a new era, and Coach Lanana spoke to this quite eloquently, an era in which the most prestigious track and field events in the country are held in Oregon on a regular basis. Oregon can lay claim to track and field in a way that isn't possible in any other sport, and we should be proactive about doing so. Our intent is to fully leverage this opportunity for the long term, creating economic development opportunities for tourism, business creation and relocation. We have a lot of quality sporting goods and recreational goods manufacturers in this state. A lot of that laid on the groundwork done many years ago around track and field. And attracting residents who appreciate and value healthy lifestyles. The vast majority of the funding needed to execute a perfect 2008 U.S. team trials is going to be generated by the private sector through earned ticket and merchandise revenue and sponsorships. But there is a legitimate funding role for government as well, and I encourage you to participate along with the cities of Eugene and Springfield and Lane County in helping us cover some of the extraordinary operating costs in putting the event together. Regarding House Bill 3224, I'd just like to add a couple of comments. You've heard that people will be utilizing, that riverfront area is an adjacent area. It's one of the gems of our state in terms of the the large-scale parklands that accompany the Willamette River and how Oregonians are encouraged to recreate along that river corridor. Many of the 15,000 daily spectators, athletes, and media in attendance will be exposed to that corridor, and what they experience there is going to influence their perceptions of Oregon and our commitment to the environment and healthy lifestyles. The improved lighting, signage, vegetation management, and well-maintained recreational facilities called for in the bill are a direct signal that we believe in investing in getting people outside and engaged in healthy lifestyles, and that the Willamette River is a treasured recreational corridor and natural asset for our state. The permanent recycling bins and educational signage on the environment are going to speak volumes about our core values regarding our lands and how we interact with them and how we encourage our residents and visitors to interact with them. The types of investments called for in House Bill 3224 will be seen by tens of thousands of visitors along with media representatives that are going to shape perceptions about Oregon around the world. So your support in helping us prepare. And really, it's a strategic win-win in that we are asking you to help us prepare specifically because the trials are going to be held there. But those are projects. The projects in that bill live on long beyond the event itself, and we think that they'll reap many benefits for Oregonians as well as visitors to the area. I'm happy to take any questions. There were a couple of things that came up. We do initiate visitor intercepts for all events taking place in Lane County. We will definitely have statewide information there. We will be organizing tours and activities outside of the Eugene-Springfield area throughout the county. And we are coordinating with Corvallis, Albany, and Salem, not so much for the people coming in for the trial specifically, because we really are hoping that we can accommodate them, but all of those people who are coming to Eugene and Springfield for reasons that have nothing to do with the trials are going to find a full house during that 10-day period. And so we are working with our counterparts up and down the valley to organize housing and access to housing so that visitors, when they're taken by surprise and not being able to find a room at the local inn, we're helping them get to the closest available room as easy as possible. And then in terms of bumps in visitation, we're already getting calls around the trials, housing for the trials. We have a housing matrix set up, which hotels are taking rooms when, and things are in full swing already. We anticipate that some athletes will come in as early as 4 days prior to the event to begin their training, and people will extend maybe a couple of days beyond, but they are here for an extended period with many hours each day, and so we're going to have an opportunity to get them out and about and spending some money extensively during the event itself. Thank you very much.
Representative Baumhart.
Thank you. I just saw in looking at your testimony the actual dates of the event. We've been talking about 2008, but I didn't realize what the exact dates were until just now. Is there any coordination going on with the Oregon Bach Festival?
Extensive coordination. I'm glad that you asked that question. And in fact, the Oregon Bach Festival is seeing this as a great opportunity around some programming and having an audience being brought to town for them. Housing is, you know, everyone's a little bit nervous about that, but the Bach Festival has been really proactive in setting up housing arrangements. And in fact, I don't think it's a huge secret, but I think there'll be some premieres offered during this Bach Festival that takes place at Honor Bill Bowerman with some original scores, and so you'll want to be listening for ticket information on that as it gets announced. But I think it's going to be very, very exciting. It's a wonderful collaboration.
Thank you. You knew I was going to ask that question.
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And any other questions?
No.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay, and together. Okay, I'd like to call at this time Jim Myron, Oregon Department of Parks and Recreation, and also at the same time Randy Groves and Chuck Tilby. Yeah, Chuck Tilby, City of Eugene. Do we have three chairs here together?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. I'd like to welcome you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Chair Lim and members of the committee. For the record, I'm Jim Myron, the legislative coordinator of the State Parks and Recreation Department. Obviously, we have an interest in this bill since we're named in it. So we've been working with Representative Nathanson and her staff to craft some amendments to this bill. The original language in the bill, as your staff summary indicates, would direct us to do the projects. We don't own any property in the area here. It's the county or the city that has this property. We're more than happy to be a willing partner in the project and provide some potential funding through our local government grant program and some technical expertise from our staff, but we don't see ourselves as doing the projects. So we're working with the representative's office and clarifying that via amendments, and unfortunately, I don't think they are available yet today. So.
Okay.
I'll be happy to answer any questions if anybody's got any.
Okay, could you give us what's the amendment, content of the amendment, even though the amendment...
Well, I have suggested some language, and I think the representative has been doing something a little bit in addition to what I've suggested. But on the first page of the bill, on line 20, it says that the Parks Department will initiate. We are proposing that the language "will initiate" be removed and replaced with "will work with the cities of Eugene and Springfield and other interested parties to provide technical assistance and the opportunity for grant funding for the projects."
Okay. Thank you. Okay. No questions?
Okay.
Representative.
The grant funding part of that, meaning a grant from where?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gerard, the State Parks Department operates a local government grant program that is funded from Measure 66, the Parks and Recreation Fund. And a sizable amount of money goes into that grant program, and we make it available to cities and counties statewide for a variety of recreational-type grant programs.
Follow up.
Okay, so there's a lot of competition for these grants from various different areas.
Representative Gerard, there is some competition. It is a competitive grant program, and I'm not sure how this would work as far as the timing of when the funding is needed for this particular purpose. But at the present time, in our present budget, this is the only funding that we would have available to us to provide.
Question. Okay.
So what we would do is allocate. Do you know what the dollar figure is?
Chair Lim, Representative Dallum. The only number I've seen is in some initial scoping of the project from Representative Nathanson's office, and I think that the city of Eugene came up with a number of $240,000 for all the projects on the list. But that's all I've seen.
Let me explain then, from my understanding, how the project would work. The legislation would pass, and then the Parks Department would be given $240,000, but it would be earmarked, and then the Olympic people or the trials people would apply for it. And so the state's involvement or disbursement of the money, that would be your sole job, and then you'd offer your expertise at on invasive species and that sort of thing.
Yes, Representative Dallum, if the legislature directed us to spend some money on a certain project, we would obviously follow your direction in doing that.
Okay.
And would act as a conduit for the funds to the local government.
I think that's the word I was looking for, conduit. Thank you very much.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. Next panel.
Vice Chair Lim and members of the committee, my name is Randy Groves. I'm the fire chief for the city of Eugene, and I'm here today in support of House Bill 3223 and 3224, with primarily my testimony being towards 3223. I believe the context for my testimony has been already established by previous speakers, so I will, in the interest of brevity, move on to the meat of it. The event venue itself will be a potential target. The housing establishments for the athletes, the media, and spectators will be potential targets. The transportation system will be a potential target, as well as numerous soft targets
further out into the community. This is going to put quite a tax on our public safety resources, and I will remind you, public safety is more than just law enforcement. That's fire, rescue, emergency medical services. Eugene Fire has a regional state hazmat team. We're also a regional urban search and rescue team. It's going to require a lot of upstaffing to make sure that we not only meet the needs of the event, but also the community loading that will be going on in our area. And what I mean by community loading is the volumes of people that will be there will drive up our routine calls for service. Our planning for this event has been going on well over a year for now. We've had numerous exercises with police, federal law enforcement, Eugene Fire and Life Safety Department, Eugene Police, or Springfield Fire and Life Safety Department, Springfield Police. It's been a community-wide effort, and I mean beyond the reaches of the Eugene city boundaries. Springfield has been an active partner. I know that question came up earlier. We also have the concerns, as you heard earlier, about dignitary protection and being an 08 general election year, presidential election. There's a potential for candidates to show up with very short notice, and that drains our resources even further. The last thing I wanted to address is I believe there is a nexus to public safety on 3224 as well, and that's with the signage that goes along the bike paths and the venues that are the transportation system of the foot traffic that goes back and forth along that area. Having been a fire and emergency medical services responder for over 27 years, I've responded numerous times to that area with people from our community that can't even describe where they are. And we can't help people if we can't find them. So I do believe there is a connection back to having a better signage system along our waterway there. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Not, are you working closely with the Homeland Security Department and the state troopers, whatsoever?
They are involved. The FBI has been involved, and I'll let Police Captain Chuck Tilby go into more detail on that piece. But yes, it's been a very large consortium, including the University of Oregon Lane Transit District, very large security team that's been working on this, and we've already, you know, had a number of expenditures just leading up to the event.
Okay, thank you. Chuck, let me see, Chuck Tilby, right?
Tilby. Yes, okay. Correct.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. I am a captain with Eugene Police Department, and Vice Chair Lim and Vice Chair Riley, representatives. I appreciate the opportunity to speak before you. I can't be nearly as eloquent as prior testifiers about the law enforcement and public safety needs for this event, so I'm not going to try. I do want to take the opportunity, however, to point out a couple of things that we may not have touched on. And one is just a reminder that since September 11th, 2001, the standards for securing highly visible and attractive large public events has risen dramatically. There was no question that running the security of operations for this event will outstrip our local resources from the word go. Both in the area of prevention of terrorist activities, but also preparing to respond to any event that there any catastrophe that might happen. We have explored for several years Department of Homeland Security grants, not specifically in preparation for this event, but for securing our community in general, but we also have very large sporting events in our community routinely, and so we've been working over 5 years preparing ourselves, developing infrastructure to be able to provide an adequate security venue. We also began a pretty significant infrastructure improvement to our public safety radio system That's a federal grant, a little over $3 million grant with $1 million plus local match, and that's between partners in City of Eugene, City of Springfield, Lane County, and Eugene Water and Electric Board. We're in the process of completing that project, and we anticipate going live somewhere around February of 08. So that's another piece that's going into the building of the security environment there. The national TV coverage is kind of a double-edged sword. It's a great thing. It provides many, many opportunities. It also provides a venue where people who need to get some sort of message out see that as an opportunity. So that coverage does heighten the particular value of the event to their needs. I think that's all.
Okay. Any questions? Vice Chair Riley.
Thank you, Vice Chair Lim. You mentioned your new radio, your project for your new radios. Is that designed at all to fit into the Owen project?
Vice Chair Riley, Vice Chair Lim, Representative. Yes, it is. We actually are one of the first projects to get off the ground on this, partly because we're not building from the ground up. It's an infrastructure improvement. By design, it will interface with Owen.
Thank you. Representative Dallin?
I don't think my questions are germane to the trials. I'm very interested in your how your package fits in with Owen, because it looks like you're building a cell, and then when Owen comes online, you'll just add to it. But I think I'm in the wrong venue here. So I'll ask my question at another committee meeting.
It'll be way over my head as well.
Okay, Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Welcome, gentlemen. This morning, I'm kind of curious about, you're thinking of fire and rescue specifically, and I know the police are also involved, just about the concerns on the river specifically. The Willamette through that stretch can sometimes be a little notorious, and I'm kind of wondering if we have the capacity to meet, I guess, what might be a lot of people in the middle of the summer thinking the river's a great place to take a quick dip, and whether we have the, a plan around that specifically.
Vice Chair Lim, Vice Chair Riley, and Representative Holvey, Eugene Fire and EMS has a water rescue team, and a water rescue component is a part of our planning that's going underway right now. We will also be working in concert with Lane County Sheriff's Office, which has search and rescue statutory responsibilities. But it's one more example of how our response system is going to be impacted by this event. We have already, one of the things I failed to mention earlier, we have already canceled all leave during that period, and for a week following the event, which will open up if nothing significant happens, just in planning ahead, trying to get every resource we can have available for the event. I know Eugene Police has made similar plans, but yes, that is one more example that will draw from our resource base.
The representative,
I was waiting for Representative Holvey to ask this question. Since you gentlemen are here on the public safety issue, I'll ask it. What arrangements are being done with the Department of Agriculture, if any, to limit or prevent field burning during the time of the trials?
Vice Chair Lim, Vice Chair Riley, Representative Barnhart, I don't have an answer for that.
I suggest you might want to work on one. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. I do appreciate your coming.
So do I. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And do we have anyone?
No.
It's on. Okay. Is there anyone like to testify on this House Bill 3224, 3223? Seeing none, I'd like to close up. The last chance to make any comment.
Okay.
I think I made the comment in my last question, but when we're trying to showcase the Upper Willamette Valley for an event like this, we have to be certain that we control the entire environment to the extent we can do that. And I think my last question illustrates one of the points that needs to be considered in the process. I appreciate very much the coordination that's already gone into this event, and if one wise guy's idea can be of use, you may steal it. Thank you very much.
I'd like to answer that.
All right.
You want my district to pay the price for your water pollution on this bill. So before you start throwing around environment stuff, you need to clean up the darn river. So if you want to talk water pollution, let's talk pollution in general. But fuel burning doesn't contribute to a problem with Hayward Field and your darn track meet.
Yes, sir. For the committee administrator, when will we see these bills again? I assume we're waiting for an amendment. Do you have any idea when this will be?
Thank you. Vice Chair Lim and Representative Dowell, it's my understanding that the hope is that the amendments have already been submitted to Legislative Council. The hope is that they'll be back before the end of the week.
And are the bills then scheduled first of next week?
I'm waiting to schedule them pending receipt of the amendments, but my understanding is shortly.
Thank you very much.
Any other comments? If not, and... Yeah, I'd like to draw my full support on these two bills. I think this is a good deal. And this will bring our state in the map in the United States and around the world. And we have a big land mass, but population-wise, we have only 1.2% nationwide. And I think through this track and field Olympic event, and we can put our names in there, and I'm very proud that I like to be one of the strong supporters of this the two bills. And as a matter of fact, I also introduce a resolution having the World Olympic Winter Games in our state, and we are hoping sometime after 2020. We hope that we can get the World Olympic Winter Games in our state. And sometimes we are thinking about the in terms of revenue and money and whole things, but there's a lot more than that. And that's even bigger, that the results on top of financial and gains. So I think of the way I hear it is already we are on the way preparing well for this great event, but I just want to share that nowadays that the security is the biggest issue in the state and nationally, locally. We are hoping through this event, you know, we have a strong security to make sure that the event be completed successfully. That's my just 2 cents comment. All right. Since I don't hear anyone willing to testify on these two bills, I'm going to close a public hearing on House Bill 2224 and 3223. And I'd like to thank you, all those members, who testify on these two bills. Thank you. Yes. I'd like to open a work session on House Bill 3027. Who is that person? Anyone? Okay.
Are we in work session?
Yes. Bob, can you come on up? Do you have any additional comments, anything to say about on this?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. My name is Bob Riefine. I'm Director of Oregon Economic Community Development. Last week when you had the bill up in front of you for public hearing, I had wanting to testify, make some comments regarding the bill. Unfortunately, I had a press meeting with Representative Morgan that had a conflict with being here to testify, so I did slip the chair, Representative Witt, a note stipulating my comments, but he felt it was reasonable for me to come back, at least under the work session today, to add some more that information to the bill. My intention here is not to dissuade or change the opinions of the committee members. I thought it would be worthwhile going on the record on certain aspects of this bill, so if you might, would, Mr. Chair, if you'd indulge me for those few comments. First of all, I want to let everybody know that I have worked with the sponsors of this bill, the group that had sponsored this bill during the interim, and so I have the context of what the bill is intended to do. I applaud them for the work that they currently do in the state of Oregon regarding microenterprise work and their continued work in that regard. I think one of the caveats that I gave them at the same time, and it's the comment, one of the comments I want to share with you today, is that in my governor's recommended budget, I have two programs that deal with small business activities. That's my small business development centers, of which many of you have a small business center within your communities, and what are commonly referred to as targeted service providers, TSPs, which deal with serving minorities and women-run businesses in the state of Oregon. So these are two existing programs that we have at my agency that were recommended funding levels in the governor's recommended budget. Unfortunately, through the co-chair's budget, those amounts had been reduced near $800,000. So I have with some reluctancy, I'm here to say that, you know, my concern is that while we have a programs that exist helping small businesses and in the state of Oregon, we've lost some resources there based on the co-chair's recommendations. So I'm not necessarily, I can't be here sitting in support of this at this point in time, since my budget did have some considerable assumed reductions in the co-chair's budget. However, having said that, I think the work that the microenterprise group does is very important to the state of Oregon. Again, just a couple of brief notes. Concerns that I have, and again, my assumption by talking to the staff that the bill's probably going to move out today because there seemed to be a reasonable amount of support for it, and it will go up and down in the Ways and Means process, and possibly some more discussion can be had there. Two comments that I have in the construct of the bill is, one is that it has my agency working with helping lead quarterly discussions with a listed group of organizations. So you'll find that on Section 4. The issue that I have is, obviously, as a manager of an agency, is I don't know to what extent or what degree this quarterly meetings mean as to staffing requirements for my staff, and so I have some concerns. Maybe that will be borne out if the bill is successful and this process does move forward. We can report later as to if there was unforeseen circumstances that had some financial issues relative to the staffing demands that my staff currently have other responsibilities dealing with. I thought possibly, again, just going on the record, even though in Section 4 where it does articulate or delineate the organizations that would come to these quarterly meetings, in the kind of the sub-L section, talks about statewide support organizations for targeted small business and microenterprises, not limited to the Oregon Microenterprise Network. I would strongly just go on the record stating that we do have three other elements, I think, that should be germane to this discussion. One is the Small Business Development Centers of Oregon. I think we've vested with those organizations, and since we put money in their programs, I think it would be appropriate to have them be at the table to have part of the discussions. The targeted service providers also, they deal with much of the same topics here, small businesses, in particular women and minority-run businesses, and I think it would be appropriate that they would be part of the table also. And then we also have the governor's small business council that is formed through an executive order by the governor, and work in that very venue of small businesses. How can small businesses be prosperous in the state of Oregon? So those three organizations, I think, are worth noting, even though not listed in name, but I wanted to go on the record to give them some standing in my comments. And then just more of a third item is the bill is talked to some degree, and if you read on sections Section 5 G, it talks about providing credit for establishment, stabilization, and expansion of target small businesses, providing credit. We have within my agency programs that are specifically designed for small business activities, entrepreneur loan programs, microenterprise loan programs. Again, my only concern that I have, and maybe this will all be resolved if the big table is brought together with all these people on the passage of this bill. Sometimes, as you would realize or understand, small business loans sometimes become a little more riskier loans. And I want to make sure that that the due diligence and the analysis that we undertake in our loan portfolio does not do anything that would either risk or imply any risk to our loan portfolio when working on smaller microenterprise loans. They are a little different animal in loan risk assumptions. And, again, I want to make sure that we protect and preserve the integrity of the loan programs, but still understand that there are risks inherent with these. Many of my loans do have risk activities with them, but I want to make sure that there was a clear understanding that the agency would be able to have the responsibility and the final say-so on how the loans would be underwritten relative to risk.
Yes, Bob. Thank you. Sure. We asked about the default rate, and I was somewhat astounded at the 20%. When your agency, Bob, runs this sort of a loan portfolio, what's your default rate?
It's uncurable. Mr. Chairman, Representative, I don't have the numbers right off the top of my head, but I would suggest that our loan rates, our default or risk rates relative to these type of loans, which are highly leveraged, usually you take these loans out with the assumption there's a higher risk potential. We are lower than the national average, but I would suspect we are close to 20%, 50 to 20% in this type of loan. If you were to look at my other loan programs, you would find we are relatively low. We are probably close to 6% or less. And so there is inherent risk coefficient. These are generally smaller loans also. And in the environment of creating new businesses with loans, and I think it's something that the state of Oregon should be engaged in, we should be helping facilitate new Oregon businesses, whether or not they're starting at their kitchen table or in their garage. Some of the best businesses who have ever come to the state of Oregon that are very notable in the state of Oregon's profile today are started by people who would have arguably been microenterprise startup businesses.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm looking at the same section that you were just referring to, and ORS 285A.345A1A, which is the section which is referred to. There's nothing in that language, is there, that requires you to make a particular loan or your loan guarantee, is there?
No. No, Mr. Chairman, Representative, my intent was just to make sure that it was, I wanted to get on record stating that there isn't a thing that would suggest or imply that any loans would have to be made. I just wanted to make sure as the group is convened, we'll have some discussions on these things, that there is a clear understanding that the goodwill of the group may be possibly a different business direction of the feasibility and underwriting of loans.
Follow-up. Thank you. I have to tell you, the last two sentences I did not understand at all. Would you try again?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, committee members, what I'm saying here is that as the group is brought together for the discussion on facilitating how the microenterprise program will evolve and be sustainable, I want to make sure that there's no implied assumption that the group has a control over the loans that we administer in the agency. We will be willing to look at those discussions with them, but I don't want to have them believe that there is a sense that a decision by this group would dictate or require my agency to become more involved in higher risk loans.
Thank you. That is clear. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Bob, what about the other way around? That I assume this board meets somewhat as guarantors to the loan. Do you want more say-so in what this agency is doing with the money? And it would seem as though the state has a compelling interest to be somewhat involved, if not at least a second-hand interest, in seeing to it that the loans, I concur with you, I don't like a default rate of 20%, but I think the state should have somebody there with some state knowledge that has an opportunity to say, this is impractical. Oh, this is risky, but we should run the risk. So I'm going to ask, are you concerned about state involvement in this particular organization, and should we have a say?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, again, the organization I think you're talking about is the convening of this task force group is made up of many state agencies, including my own agency. And I think, quite frankly, in talking with the constituents or the presenters of this concept, I felt getting them as many people to the table would give us the largest sphere of interest and influence on this discussion. One of the things I have learned in this job that I've now been on for a little over a year is that microenterprise and business startup is a very, even though on the surface seems very simple because it's a small business, but it's a very complex relationship with all the partners that are listed here. And so as much as you see the employment division, as much as you see the university system, as much as you see the community college system, they all play a very integral part in the success of micro-enterprise businesses, either in services or some relationship that is found between that those entities and the work that micro-enterprises do. So I think that there's plenty of representation there. And again, I think, as I advocated for them when they were putting this piece of legislation together, having the right people at the table to help construct what this deliverable would look like, I think is very important to the well-being of the micro-enterprise system in Oregon.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Repine, I'm curious, and maybe you've already stated it or somewhere, but I didn't really see it in the bill. When it talks about appropriating money from, and it leaves a blank, to the Economic Community Development Department, would you expect that these monies would come from lottery funds?
The president of the bank.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, Representative Holvey, they could be construed to come from lottery funds. I suspect they could be coming from general fund also. I don't, as we all know, those are pretty fungible resources against each other, but most of the money, as most members know, that come to my agency, for many of the programs that I run at my agency, they are lottery fund dollars. Very little comes to general fund. The only thing we receive that has general fund ties to it goes to the arts and culture program. So I suspect either general fund or lottery funds.
Okay. Committee members, please stand ease. About 2 minutes. I want to consult with my vice chair on this bill. So give me just a couple of minutes. Consulted with the vice chair, the opinion is we are going to hold over until the chair comes back. And so, do you have any other?
Mr. Chair, are you holding over specifically for Wednesday?
I'd like to ask, if I may ask Director Repine his opinion on that decision and what he thinks we should do, if I may.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, committee members, thank you, Mr. Riley. Again, as I teed this, my discussion up, I wanted to go on record knowing that it was in work session, and I realized that there was a probably strong sense that the bill would be moving forward. My comments were not designed or intended to be taken in a way to either defer or detain the bill. Not unless I've said something that's so compelling or overwhelming that you believe that there's some more discussion. I just wanted to make sure that I was on the record relative to the fact that what has happened to my governor's recommended budget relative to similar services, some of the issues I see with the lacking of some names there, but I just want to make sure they are on the record. There is a provision in the bill that allows other organizations like that who have a statewide interest on this type of activity can be at the table. So really, I was just making some clarification statements. Not my intent was not to move, to slow down this bill.
Okay.
There's a subsequent ways and means, is there not?
There is.
What would we wait?
Is there a reason to wait then? We ought to get it in the mix, shouldn't we?
We can do this whole one. There's two of them.
All right. So are we comfortable in moving this
motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the House Bill 3027 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee.
All right. Any other discussion? Okay, if not, call the roll.
Representative Barnard?
Aye.
Representative Dowell?
Aye.
Representative Durrett?
Aye.
Representative Holby?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lynn?
Aye.
Vice Chair Riley?
Aye.
Chair Witt?
Excused.
All right. This House Bill 3027 that the passed to the floor with a two-pass recommendation and subsequent referral to the Ways and Means. With that, we close the work session on House Bill 3027.
Wednesday?
Pardon? Who's going to...
Is she going to tell us about Wednesday?
Would you... Yes. Vice Chair Lim and a member of the committee
of
Wednesday. On
Wednesday. Well, hold on, before we go, who's going to carry this bill?
I thought the bill went to Ways and Means.
It goes to Ways and Means.
It goes to Ways and Means? Yes. Okay.
No one.
Yeah. Did you say that?
To the floor and then
to the floor. And then Ways and Means.
We had this conversation before, if you'll recall. And so we don't need a carrier.
We don't need a carrier.
Right.
Okay. That's fine then. Okay, what's the next Wednesday?
So for Wednesday, April 4th at 8 a.m., you all will have a public hearing on House Bill 3181. It's its first public hearing, and that bill gives family child care providers the right to collectively bargain with the state of Oregon. You'll also be having a public hearing and possible work session on 2810, which you all remember is the bill that removes the sunset date on the income tax credits for the contributions to the child care division. And then you'll have a work session on House Bill 2811, which removes the annual limit on the tax credit certificates that are issued to the child care division.
All right. Mr. Chair, before we adjourn, I simply want to note that, for the record, that I've received a message concerning field burning that indicates that there is always coordination with special events on field burning. So that has already been taken care of.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
That's
and then, I think my staff will relay the message the FTA issue.
Are you going to be
a resolution?
Okay.
And that's a team here.
Yes.
Team bill is required to have a public hearing, not just the information. So the Council General.
Are we adjourned?
Yes.
It's adjourned. Anyway.